Welcome back to the Hardball Gets podcast. Of course, every Tuesday, this is the Loose Ballers edition. We must say a very big thank you to Mazda. It's the complete package inside and out. Drive the brand new Mazda BT50 at your Mazda dealer. On today's episode, we sit down and we talk about the grand final. Of course, if you're talking about the grand final, we have to speak about the great Dusty Martin. Was the night grand final a win or a loss for those sitting at home and watching? Where did danger play and why? And of course, this time of year, we do love to speak about trade period, what players are available and where they might end up. I'm Xavier Ellis, and we've got Dill Buckley on the way. Enjoy. Dylan Buckley, welcome.
Xavier, thank you, my friend. Thank you, and welcome to you as well.
Mate, how is it? It's today. No, tomorrow's the big day.
Oh, that was the worst start ever. Mate, it's tomorrow's a big day. Actually, midnight tonight, which is tomorrow. So, yeah, it's huge, mate. We're officially back on the beers.
Mate, what about last night, the Dan Andrews stuff I saw, the Victorian Premier, of course, saying he's going to step it up, go right up the shelf.
And that
I thought that meant he was going right up to, like, and I don't drink whiskey or scotch or anything like that. So as soon as I saw the photo, I was like, oh, my God, what has this cost? And it was like $80. I was like, oh, come on, Dan.
He can't do too much well at the moment. Like, and I think that was, you know, like after everything he's done, and let's – obviously, jokes aside, like it's been a very serious thing. A lot of people have lost their lives, so it's not too funny, but it was crazy how just after that one thing, you can almost go, oh, look, he's not that bad, you know? Yeah, he's actually done 100%. All right. Like, I was like, I don't really hate him anymore that much. So that was pretty funny.
the mood swing of 24 hours earlier when there was no change and everyone was like, oh, fuck you, Dan Andrews.
And
a little swing. Hey, let's talk. Oh, no, I must say quickly, I got this little Asian deli that I go to and I get a nice roast beef roll. Like they've got the buns, they toast the buns on the barbecue plate, then the beef, then the gravy. But it gives me a bit of a gut tingle every time. So I don't know how long the beef's been sitting there. So if I do have to bolt at any stage, I've got the curlies just from this beef roll that it was delicious on the way down, but it definitely reappears almost twice a week. So apologies in advance, man, if I have to scoot.
No, that's fine. I don't feel too well after that myself. I've been off meat for like, and I know you're probably going to hate me, the people change their opinion of this, but I haven't eaten meat for probably nearly 2 years.
My missus is a veggie, so I'm with you on a little bit that I can cook it.
No, but, and it's not, it's, it look, like, obviously it? There's an ethical factor on it, but it's like, I just feel better when I don't eat it. Like I always had a really weird relationship with meat in terms of like, when you said that, and like when I ate meat, you know, back in the day and I'd chew into something and I'd get that bit of gristle, like I'd honestly I couldn't finish my meal. Like I'd never had a very strong relationship with it in the first place.
Yeah. Have you, feel healthier? Do you reckon you're a better runner? You know, like Novak Djokovic and those guys went on some fancy diet and then he won all those grand slams and for a day I was going to do it and then I was just like, oh man, I can't do this. Yeah.
I don't look... If I had done this when I was playing footy, would I have been Dustin Martin? Probably. Did I? No, I didn't. But no, in all seriousness, it actually was pretty bad for me because when I first started not eating meat, it was when I was playing at the Giants and I was having really bad calf injuries at that stage and I was like, you know what, I'm getting off meat as well. Yeah. And I think it even went even worse because I didn't know how to do it properly. Like you've got to know what you're eating and what you're putting into your body because you're obviously, if you're not eating meat, you're going to be pretty low in deficient in protein and stuff. So you've got to take supplements or find it in other places. So look, that's a chat for another time. I don't think it's what we're covering today.
No, mate, grand final, let's rock and roll. What do you make of it?
I don't want to be negative. Look, it was great. It was awesome. Yep. Like it was fantastic. And the AFL did an amazing job in getting it up and even completing the season. I wish the Cats won, but in saying that as well, Dustin Martin is just, if not the best player ever, like that was ridiculous. Like he genuinely won that game off his own boot. Like he's a freak show.
So I was texting someone yesterday that literally he's carried, there's probably two or three players or four or five players at Richmond who have now won two or three premierships. And literally just hung on to Dusty for dear life. They are historical players, these guys now that have won two or three premierships. But you've got to thank Dusty so much. It's such an incredible performance.
I'm not saying this in a disrespectful way to Richmond, because you don't win off one person.
No, but absolutely not.
There's only, like, it's just incredible to think, like, the game against Port, I think it was, where they beat Port in that first final, I think. That was another one where Dusty just flicked it. And it's like, if they didn't have him that day, they might not have even won that game, you know, to start with.
Mate, there was some stat doing the rounds, and I'm probably going to put a little bit of sugar on it. But it was something like, in Dusty's finals, he's been best on ground 75% of every single final he's played in. Like, imagine three out of four finals, you're the best player on the field. It's incredible stuff. Yeah, I'm with you a little bit. Like, at least you didn't have to deal with Swan Street in lockdown with the 4 trillion Richmond supporters down there running an absolute muck. They just solidified themselves as a dynasty. I thought they were down and out there for a while. Geelong were on top. A couple of opportunities. But I went outside at one stage and came with a 4-goal lead or whatever it was to Geelong, came back in and it was bloody level. So, what did you think? Night or day, or what suited you?
Mate, I think that was the main thing of the night, that anyone who says night grand final, no, shut up. We can never do that again. Like, that's just, look, I get it. It was because of the reasons, and it was circumstantial because of the racing and whatnot. But the AFL Grand Final is a day event, and that's just how it is. Like, I found myself even just being locked in. Like, you can't really, what do you do during the day, you know? And without being stupid here, like, if you are going to have a day off and you're going to have a big day, like, you're going to be drinking. So by the time you get to the game, you can't just sit down and watch it. Like, you want to actually be able to enjoy the game. And then historically, you know, post-game, that's when the festivities start and you can actually have fun. So
Do you feel like there's an agenda? Do you feel like there's an agenda? Like, some people are running an agenda that this night grand final is the best thing that you've ever come across. Like, already stuff from SEN have done run with it. Like, they're making out that it was like the best thing since sliced bread, and, you know, we can never go back to what it was. I did a quick poll deal on my Twitter. 1,394 people voted. 87% said, take it back to the daytime, please. So, I mean, 100%. If that's not overwhelming, 87% on about 1,500 votes, it says enough, doesn't it?
Oh, lock it in, mate. There's no way that can be a grand final at the night time again. It just didn't have the same feel. Look, I know, again, unprecedented times, but it, for me personally, it didn't even really feel like a grand final just because of the build-up and whatnot. And look, it was, and it will go down in history, and it's going to be one of the best flags ever won. But just in terms of the feel of playing during the day, it has to be played during the day.
The only thing I'll say is I reckon it'll be night next year. I reckon that's almost a lock. And
why?
I just reckon it's an agenda that they're keen on pushing. The audience numbers were through the roof, and they were skewed, obviously, by lockdown and no one being able to leave in Victoria, obviously, the footy state. But they'll say that we haven't had the opportunity to play a night game at the MCG. Last year was different. It was at the Gabba. So we're going to do it again this year, and we're going to experience the MCG under lights is exactly what I think. And take away, like, our age group, how we like to have a big day and, you know, enjoy the grand final and then celebrate with a barbecue after or whatnot. Think about the kids. Like, man, I got sent to bed when I was, you know, to the age of, like, 10 or 12 at, you know, 7:30, 8 o'clock or whatever. The footy not kicking off over East till 7:30. You're cutting out a large portion of the audience who absolutely love the game, and the portion that the players and stuff have made pay cuts to invest back in grassroots football. So you're literally cutting them away from the grand final. They're not staying up till 10 o'clock to watch the end of it.
And look, don't get me wrong, and you'd be able to comment on this better, but as a player and you win the grand final, you're going to go out and have a good time no matter what. But I feel like as a player, you'd want to play during the day. And then you've got that whole after the game, into the night, the big dinner with, you know, your friends and family. But once you have that night game, it's like, shit, the game's finished. It's already 10:30. Look, I'm not saying it's going to stop on the time, but I just feel like for that, you know, even the fan engagement of seeing them, you know, out on the street and all that sort of stuff, like, that's nearly the best part, is that it is in the middle of the day. It's not at the end of the day, because you're sort of sitting around going, oh, okay, shit, the game's starting tonight. What do we do?
No, I'm with you, 100% with you. And I do need to touch on a topic that I've been pushing for a little while in the Geelong Football Club.
Do you want me to throw to this? I already know where we're going with this.
You come to me.
Xavier, I need to talk to you about something.
Yeah, what do you got, mate? What are you thinking?
Well, Geelong versus Richmond in the grand final, yeah?
Where
do you think Dust? Where do you think Dangerfield should have started, and where did he start?
Well, I think it'd be madness for the Danger to play anywhere else bar the midfield. I get that he kicked four goals in a final against Collingwood where you and I could have cashed in for four as well. But I would have thought when the whips are cracking the most and when it's heat in the battle, especially when the game turns and Richmond got on top, get Danger in there. I honestly think it's a massive missed opportunity. He's an eight-time All-Australian. Why is he not playing midfield? He's not a great kick anyway. He doesn't finish his goals when he gets a lot of opportunities anyway. So for Mott, he's a superstar, a gun midfielder. He's a dangerous forward at best, I feel.
Why is there something else that we're missing here? Because
I went to bed last night, on grand final night, and thought, you know what, maybe Chris Scott thinks Duncan, Selwood, Menangola, Guthrie are better than Danger. And Danger might be the sixth mid. But
even if he is a sixth mid, you can still have six midfielders rolling around. You can still punch through those guys through the middle. Like, look, don't get me wrong. By that time, I'd had a few cordials. I wasn't sort of watching the game. But did he even have a centre bounce? Like, did he even go through there at all?
He was in there a bit. But, not for Geelong to win, they're playing against a team that's won two of the last three. Obviously, we spoke about it, that there's the dusty Danger factor a bit, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
which one of the two champions can get a hold of the game? And you feel that both have the ability to win a game off their own boot, essentially. And we saw again on the weekend, Dusty did. But, I mean, Danger had nine disposals at three-quarter time. I mean, that's three a quarter of Danger. And if you're after, nine of the most beautiful disposals in the history of the game, you're not going to get them from Danger. He needs to be around, 25 to 30 and taking yards and breaking tackles and all that sort of business. So, for mine, Dill, I think that was a massive missed opportunity. And I wrote in my little column in the paper I do over here, on Monday after the grand final, if you're Geelong and you're sitting in your review and go, oh, shit, we missed one with Danger, you've missed an opportunity for the year. And I reckon they just missed one of almighty opportunities for the year that he – and maybe he's injured. And maybe that's another thing I didn't think – he's cooked. I don't know. But
I can think that there's something else there that maybe, he was playing through something that we just don't know. But I suppose we never will.
Mate, what about the first 5 minutes of that grand final? Wasn't it just so crazy?
Good. So good. And the Danger hit, I was going to say, the Danger hit in the Ablett down, that sort of, look, without due respect to everyone that got injured in that, that sort of really actually took the sting out of the game completely. I was like going just, oh shit, hurry up. Like just keep going because it was so good to watch.
And then Marty and bloody Morton or Morton Martins or Streaks, the TikTok.
Yeah.
The TikTok guys, they ran in with their footy and kicked a goal and it was just had everything. There was shit going on everywhere. I was sitting there going, I actually don't know where to look here. And when Gaz limped off, I was
sad.
It was so sad. And you knew he was going to return because there's nothing to lose with your arm. But like, just the devastation to see him go down and not even play his best game. We're never going to see his best, but a game where he wasn't limited. It was sad. I found myself watching his highlights the other day.
You can be there for a long time.
Got on YouTube.
What about that one though? Like I think I saw one of those highlights as well. It was like Gazza's top moments. I was going to watch on it just as you do as a normal ones. Went for about 37 minutes. I was like, I don't have enough time to watch this.
Mate, can you imagine?
I don't have enough time.
I remember when we did like 100 tapes or whatever. I was embarrassed. I was like, oh no, you're going to put a spoil in. Oh, they put a spoil in. Oh Christ. If you haven't really knocked the door over when you watch 100 tape and they're showing spoils. Like that's what you want to see on your highlights. Hey, what about there could have been a massive, massive blunder on the Norm Smith voting? Lee Matthews, what did you catch wind of voting for the wrong player?
Yeah, that's crazy. I don't know how that happens. How's that allowed?
Strange. But even like people are a bit like, wrong player, it didn't matter.
No, not funny. Not funny.
Imagine if it did matter. Imagine if a Dusty and either Titch Edwards, for example, was it Short, I think it was meant to be, and he went with Broad. Yeah. But like, I mean, how incredible would it have been if it was a two-vote swing or something on the Norm Smith medal? Like, what do? Do you get up and change it? Do you just pretend it never happened? And we're lucky that Danger, Dusty was incredible and by far the best player on the ground.
Yeah.
And he probably could have collected 3-2-1. But like, surely we need an auditing system of some description if we're putting wrong names on paper.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know how that even is possible to mix up players on grand final day, especially when you're the caliber of Lee Matthews. Obviously, you know the game pretty well, but I just don't know how that would have happened. Especially makes it even crazier when you look at Jaden Short actually just won the Tigers BNF in the premiership year. So like it wasn't like he just had a one-off game. He's obviously been doing that the whole year and he's so highly regarded at the footy club. So yeah, you, like you said, you're lucky that Dusty did really just take the reins in the end there and win it. But in saying that, one thing I do want to talk about, if Geelong won, and a big, big fan of this guy, and I know you are too, was Mitch Duncan by far the best player on the ground the first half? Like he was literally a head above everyone. It was incredible. Yeah. His kicking, like skills, he is easily, like I think from that game, you've got to say he's the best kick in the AFL now. Because if you can do that on a grand final day, it just means that it's tenfold throughout the season.
Do you know what I find a lot of people try and do? Like Matt Suckling and Sam Mitchell and those guys ruined it for everyone. You know, they could kick across their bodies and stuff and do it easily and they didn't look where they were going. Mitch Duncan is a perfect example about straightening yourself up when you kick. On the run and all that sort of stuff, he straightens himself up so nicely that goes, I don't care that you know where I'm kicking this. I'll kick it where you can't get it. Like he is the perfect, just I picture like a quarterback, like a Tom Brady or something with the ball and, you know, just how square on they get. And it looks so obvious. It's like lane work for Mitch Duncan because he straightens up, sees where he wants to kick it and hits it. But he's a beautiful kick of the football. And like you look at it and go, well, there's two ways of doing it. You can do the look-away stuff. And if you miss, it's so dangerous. So you can go Mitch Duncan's method a lot of the time. And he can kick across his body if he needs to. He's so skilled. But just straightening up and hitting a target, you're right. He was best on ground by so far and really like got them going, didn't he, the Cats? That was that was so close, I felt, to getting it open, another, like just opening it up a little bit further.
I think if they kicked the first two, they had, I think it was nearly 3 points they kicked first, or maybe it was 2 points. If they had kicked those ones early, I know this is a ridiculous call, but it was going to be hard for Richmond to then come back after halftime if they kept kicking on. They just lost a little bit of momentum by missing a couple goals. I think Dangerfield might have missed one. Hawkins might have missed one. And it's like, I think, you know, you would know this more than me, but finals time and being a spectator now, if you can kick goals early on and put that scoreboard pressure on, that's when the doubt just creeps in. And it's like, if you don't, because they missed, I think they missed three goals and then Richmond went down and had one shot and kicked one straight away. And you were like, fuck, well, Richmond are winning now.
Well, you can even rewind to the prelim final last year, 2019, when Tom Hawkins was suspended for a whack on Schofield from West Coast. And they went in, they were dominant Geelong in the first half. Like everything had turned to gold. They were up by, I think they got up by 4 goals at one stage. Blitzavs missed an absolute soda. Dangerfield went forward after halftime. Momentum turned and then Richmond went goal, goal. And then the doubts come in. You think, oh Christ, they're now in reaching distance. Like you had the nail on the coffin and they just needed one or two last big whacks. And that was going to be the difference, but Richmond, just the champions that they are, is incredible how we saw that game pan out. And Dil, you were mentioning like Dusty, grand final performer and all that sort of stuff, and you saw some news today around some of his contracts.
Yeah, that was unbelievable. So they had one of the stations today, might have been SEN, had Ralph Carr, Dusty's manager on, and basically they were just talking to him about the back when Dusty was out of contract, what, you know, the other teams, I think it was Adelaide and North Melbourne were offering over $11 million over X amount of years as a contract. Yes.
7 years, crazy, hey?
7 year deal. So, and he stayed at Richmond for a little bit less money, obviously, but there was obviously commercial stuff that can, you know, sort of make up with that by being at a bigger club. But can you imagine if he had a left? Like, I don't think they, you know, would be doing what they're doing now. And Dusty's obviously made the right decision in having three flags.
Because also remember he was paraded around GWS, I reckon.
Dusty, the Giants,
Mate, there's so many different storylines where Dusty Martin could have changed the outcome and direction of these football clubs. Like, I know Dusty, I think it was 2017 he was out at the end of that, so he would have already played against Adelaide. But mate, imagine if you went to the Giants. Like, there's no way in the world that the Giants aren't winning a flag with Dusty Martin at the helm. There's no way in the world that North Melbourne wouldn't have been competitive if he'd chosen to go. Just because Richmond are a team. Like, they aren't outstanding, like, stars all over the field. Just the fact that they bond and play as such a tight team. Man, there's no doubt, even in maybe at North Melbourne, not this year, but potentially the last couple of years, he could have done something similar at any club he went to, Dusty.
Well, he's that sort of player, isn't he? Like he's always – he's that guy that no matter what team he's in, if they're if he goes to a good team or a bad team, he's going to play exactly the same. Like Gary Ablett, you know, he was playing well at Geelong. Then he goes to the worst team in the league in Gold Coast in their first year and wins a Brownlow. That's just how he is. But the one thing and this is – I didn't even bring this up with you before this, but the one thing that those teams don't have that Richmond do is Damien Hardwick. And I think that, you know, you can't – question that bloke. Like, not that there was ever any, well, there was obviously, like when, you know, before this dynasty that's created, he was one foot out the door. And now you look at him now, and he's probably one of the most loved and respected blokes in the AFL. Realistically, probably should have had four flags, but he's got three at the moment, and they don't really look like they're slowing down anytime soon. And the love that, you know, I hate that thing when people say, oh, you know, well, you know, the players play for the coach, because I think that's just actually like I've never gone out there and thought, hey, I'm going to go play for my coach today. Like that's just not something that went through my mind. But I like actually think that Richmond do that. Like they actually love the bloke.
Well, mate, the amount of times I've heard people talk about him being a father figure, like he's not a coach, he's like a second dad, or he's the dad I never had, you know, so on and so on. And we had him at Hawthorn for a few years with Clarkson, and he was a funny guy. Like he was genuinely a really funny guy who just would flip out on game day. Like the white line fever Damien Hardwick would get, and there's stories about what he did at Port Adelaide to protect some of their stars in 2004 to get them over the line on grand final day, how he was virtually happy not to leave the ground. Like I will near die out here to protect, you know, the players who are going to win the flag, etc. So he's an All-Australian. He's won a couple of flags. He's now won three premierships as a coach. I mean, his resume from, you know, almost being given the arse at some stage and Port Adelaide, nearly missing one at Port Adelaide to, you know, the full book of the resume. But you're right. The players speak so highly of him. And you mentioned, don't want to draw a link between father figures, but Jaden Short, we mentioned him before in the Best and Fairest. I hope you saw his speech, because when he started welling up, his father passed away earlier this year. And when he was talking, the way he welled up, and I was like, oh my God. And you saw Dusty put his arm on him and Dimmer in the background. You could tell like that football club, and it must have been hard for Short to leave his family in Victoria while they're grieving his father. But you could tell that the environment that Damien Hardwick had created, that it's such a comfortable environment for those who are grieving or sad or, you know, suffering some sort of mental health issues. Like he's painted and created just such an incredible, you know, venue for everyone to feel comfortable in.
Oh, mate, 100%. And not to plug my own podcast here, but I actually had Brandon Ellis on the show last week. And obviously Brandon Ellis was he's a two-time premiership player at Richmond. And, you know, he went into full depth about this sort of turning point of Richmond circa 2016 and how it all worked with their vulnerability session. So
he was first up, wasn't he?
Yeah. So he was the first one to tell his story. And basically it came from Damien Hardwick going to the US and doing all this you know, study on what makes good teams. And basically it came back to the number one thing that you can do that is really hard for males, as we would all know, is vulnerability. And you never want to show your weaknesses. So they did this thing called the Triple H session, where it was hero hardship highlight, where basically you tell who your hero is, what your hardship is, and your highlight of your life. And basically that was the thing that kickstarted their career. And I won't – Brandon Ellis is story is absolutely unbelievable. You know, his hero, which again, I'm not telling this, you know, out of tune, because we did the podcast last week.
Dylan,
but basically his hero was, his hero was his dad, because his dad had terminal brain cancer and survived. His hardship was growing up in commission homes in Carlton, and he was embarrassed as a kid to, you know, walk to school, and he'd get bullied for being poor, and he'd share the room with his brother. And then his highlight was getting drafted and then being able to pay for, you know, his family to you know, buy a house. And you know, he was the first one to get up and tell his story to Richmond, and that sort of just kickstarted this, you know, the Triple H sessions of vulnerability, which, look, it's obviously working.
Yeah, and a lot of those players at Richmond didn't know his story, did they? No one knew. It's incredible. I remember hearing that story last year, and obviously they must have dug into the Richmond's culture and the vulnerability sessions. And I remember hearing it. It was at the time that he was talking about going to the Gold Coast, and obviously the cash at the Gold Coast far outweighed the Richmond offer or whatever it was. And until I'd heard the story about his upbringing and how proud he is to be able to help out with his family and stuff, and how his dad had done so many things, I was like, what an incredible story. Like, you get the blessing from the Richmond Football Club. You've won two flags. You've set up, you know, your own future now. Off you go. That was an incredible story. But that's painted the path for Richmond players everywhere. And you can tell so closely that bond is incredible. Now, Dil, do you want to talk about – I've got five players v. Dusty before we move on. I've got a little issue I need to bring up about a Brownlow vote. But I've got five players that I've put on the paper.
Go.
V. Dusty Martin. And I want to know, who would you take, okay? So you can't split, and you've got to take Dusty or, okay?
Okay.
Now, they're from over the last 12 to 15 years, okay? So, us as a kid, we'll go Dusty or Chris Judd.
Shit. Mate, I honestly think you've got to go Dusty.
Okay. Dusty or James Hurd?
Dusty.
Dusty or Adam Goods?
Dusty.
Dusty or Joel Selwood?
Dusty.
And Cyril Rioli.
You got to go Dusty. The only reason, well, there's many reasons, but like, the bloke's won three flags and three Norm Smiths. I don't think you can. That resume trumps anything, really.
But how's that echelon of players I just reeled out to you?
I know.
Heard, Brownlow, Judd, Brownlows, Goods, Brownlows, Selwood, one of the toughest, courageous, best leaders of all time, and then Cyril, just a little bit of the magic side of things. And so, you've got five.
Just on
Dusty.
That, the only one that trumped me a little bit there was Judd and Goods, because Goods has won how many Brownlows?
Two. One is a ruck, one is a mid.
Yeah, and Juddy won two.
Heard one.
Dusty will probably win another one.
Would it surprise you if Dusty just disappeared at some stage and was just like...
just went and did his own thing?
I've won four North Smiths. See you guys, I'm off to live with Serena Williams in America.
I actually probably expect it, to be honest.
Yeah,
he's just that bloke that you just... I don't know. Nothing really surprises me anymore. Like, he's just so cool. He's so... he's so good. And yeah, just an incredible man.
Can you remember when Michael Jordan packed up and went and did baseball or something, and the shock of it all?
Yeah.
I don't think it would be shocked.
Like, imagine if Dusty could be the only bloke that could actually, like, not that you'd want to do this and no player would ever do this, but he could go and play NRL and, like, be the best player in the NRL or something. Like, he'd just
imagine
go and play fullback.
Imagine the kicking game. Like, you look at some of the NRL players kick it, and it looks like it's the first time they've ever tried to do it. Yeah. Imagine, I used to think Stewie Jew could do it with his kicking skills and speed and frame. But, mate, what an incredible player he's been. And, like, man, to say he's better than those five players or you'd take him over those five players is amazing. Mate, what I want to bring up with you off the Brownlow, I've done a little bit of research. And do you follow Sir Swamp on Twitter?
I do. Yes, I know. So, I know you're talking about it. I do follow. He's got the amazing stats and
So throw anything at him, and I don't know how he finds them. Mm. But this is why I reckon you and I didn't win a Brownlow. I feel as though I've actually got to the bottom of why we didn't win a Brownlow, because people just get votes because they're their name. I've decided. So there was a question that went out the other day to Sir Swamp and said, Swampy, in round 15, Essendon v West Coast. Tom Barras got three votes. Can't remember who got two, and someone got one vote. Kelly got one vote from West Coast, and they had the disposals of all the players there. And he said, is this the lowest collection of disposals to get a 3-2-1? And I was like, oh, that's a good question, because Tom Barras got three votes because he was full back. You don't expect him to touch the football too often. But I dug a little deeper, and now Tim Kelly got three votes. Sorry, got one vote. So he's polling Brownlow votes. You and I, we could have been Brownlow medalists if we just were umpire favourites. Yes. In the game, he got one vote. He had 13 disposals, 8 kicks. He had one mark. He had one tackle. And he had 0 clearances and got a vote. At the top of the tree, Zach Merritt, 33 and 10 inside 50s. Nada. Liam Ryan, 4 goals. Nada.
Yeah, look.
We could have been in those five players compared to Dusty.
And I'll be honest, it keeps me up at night. It does. It keeps me up at night sometimes. But the one thing that I will say on this, and again, no disrespect to the Brownlow medal, because it's historically the best award in our game, but that's why I think that, you know, in the next 10 years, even 5 years, or I'm not putting a cap on it, but I do think that that MVP award that the AFLPA comes up with is obviously Lachie Neale this year was the best player in the league, but he won the MVP as well. So like that award is judged by your teammates. It's judged by your peers. It's judged by, you know, all the people that you're playing against. So like that award is probably the best award to win, like in terms of measuring against the best player. The Brownlow, it rattles me just because, yes, the name's the best, but it's umpires picking the votes. Like how
Tim Kelly with 13 touches, no clearances, one mark, then gets a Brownlow vote.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say. Like, and don't get me wrong, like you look at a player like Cyril Rioli, if he had 13 touches, he was probably getting three votes because what he does with the ball was, you know, it doesn't matter. But I think with those awards, the reason I like the MVP is it's not sort of discriminative of position. It's not discriminative of where you play or an umpire's vote of what they see, especially, you know, umpires are more obviously at stoppages more than they're at off ball watching what forwards do, I just sort of like that MVP award, and I hope that sort of does get a bit more recognition with the AFLPA.
With the MVP, I think it needs one little tweak, and I know it's the Players Award or whatever, and I don't know how this would sound, but I reckon you've got to qualify to vote as a player. Like, if I was a rookie...
You have to play over 10 games.
10 games, because if I'm a rookie coming in this year... and he's just in love with Dustin Martin, automatically he's got the votes, and someone needs to do something amazing to take the votes off him.
Yeah.
If you've played the 10, you've been out there, you've experienced the players, you're not just reading what the papers say, you're actually feeling it, you're in the coaches' meetings when they do the 22 meetings before you run out. Yeah. You know, the game plan, who you're game playing around, that sort of stuff. But I agree, the MVP I think is the way to go, but I just reckon they need to work a slightly different system where you've got to be in the system for a few years or you've got to have played 10 games or something like that. That's probably
and what
the
they need
thing.
To do as well, they would just need to sell it to a bigger network or get a network involved that can actually televise it.
Yeah.
At the moment, I think it's sort of just on the background of a Fox Footy or something. But if you can get that on Fox Footy and Seven and you can really make it a thing and have the, you know, sponsors involved in it, that's when it'll be big.
Yeah, just quickly, a couple of trade ones that are popping up. Have you been following the Adam Treloar situation?
I love trade.
Yeah.
Like, love it. The Treloar one's things. Really rattling me. Like, from my understanding, is this true that – I don't know if it's true, but is this what being reported? Collingwood want to trade Adam Treloar. Is that what the word is at the moment?
Yeah, so it's like when I had a girlfriend in year eight and she was like, we're done. And I was like, no, we're not. No, I don't think we are. And they're like, no, we're done. They're trying to tell him over and over we're done. And he's like, no, I still love you. Like, no, I
– why? Treloar. So why do they not – why are they done? Like, I wonder –
don't know. So I saw something in the Twitter that, you know, maybe the end of the hub didn't end as well as what it could have been. Now, I think Adam Treloar could be a Brownlow medalist. Now, before
he's a genuine A-grader. He's a genuine A-grader.
But, like, he's not a Fife Brownlow medalist or a Dusty Brownlow medalist like that. He's more of your Tom Mitchell brand of Brownlow medalist, where the accumulation of statistics is probably going to get you the votes. But I reckon this year he started doing the Tom Mitchell numbers early in the season before having hamstrings where he was getting 30s and 30s and 30s. I think he'd be great for the Gold Coast. But, I find it funny. I saw a tweet which was quite funny. So he goes something like, the tweet was, DeGoey's in trouble, side bottom was in trouble, but Treloar, you've got to go. It was like, what's he done wrong?
Yeah, that is strange. That's super strange. I don't know. The only thing that I think now, and I always sort of think now that I left the game, is you look at like, okay, if they don't want Adam Treloar, what are they up to? Like,
yes, 100%.
Is it to bring someone else in, or is it to just keep, you know, DeGoey and Sidebottom? I don't know, but yeah, that's really interesting that clubs are, you know, he's obviously an A grader, and they're sort of willing to let him go at you know, at what cost, I'm not sure, and what they're trying to do with that, I don't know. But look, if he's at this stage, it doesn't look like he wants to go. But if he does, I think that he'd be huge for Gold Coast, especially imagine him playing with Matt Rowell and Anderson. Oh,
just
and
takes
those
the pressure
times.
Off those kids too. I still feel as though you got Greenwood and those guys. Who credit to Greenwood and Brandon Ellis and those guys that have come in, but they're probably not your real take the pressure off the kids site type of player. And I reckon Treloar, if he gets 35s, he can probably take a bit of pressure off.
You know what? Just on that quickly, imagine if we lived back in time or forward in time, right? And yeah. Gary Ablett went to Gold Coast now when yeah. he was like at the time he went there. But imagine if it was now.
And yeah, he went there. Huge.
Could you imagine?
Huge. Imagine those kids that like Matt Rowell would just, and you see Matt Rowell, I love him, sitting there with his little notebook and pen. Mate, he would be in Gaz's ass with his little notepad and pen and have it. Oh, mate, it would be incredible. I don't know what type of like developmental leader Gaz was in terms of how he got the kids better. But gee whiz, the system that they're running now, the whole joint running a lot smoother, would just be much better to see Gaz go up there now. It was almost like money not so well spent. Having said that, like he put the face of Gold Coast on the map a little bit, but right now it would be incredible. But also,
who would you get up there as if you were Gold Coast now, Gaz is retired, would you be offering him something to come up there and like mentor these young blokes as a coaching role or something?
Nah. I'm trying to think who, imagine if like Nick Nat or someone went up there now to really,
holy shit.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. To get hit outs to those kids. But you mentioned winding back the clock and imagine if Treloar chose Richmond over Collingwood.
Yeah, so he gets brought up this and that bloody Richmond people will never forget when he said, oh, Collingwood have got a better list.
Closer to a premiership. Oh, no. Shit. And then Dion Preston slid in. Anyway, last one on the trade front with Jesse Hogan. There's a little bit of talk over here about Jesse Hogan, Sydney. But then today I read that Richmond have sort of been asking a few questions and looking at the potential of Fremantle going to have to pay a little bit of his contract. But, Jack Riewoldt's probably going to his last year maybe next season and a bit of a you get Hogan in. Riewoldt to sort of, suck off him a little bit. Sorry. So I'm not sure if that's what I meant. But then you got Tom Lynch, obviously, is the key. And then Hogan sort of slides in behind Riewoldt. That also sounds pretty sus. So, but you know what I mean.
Yes, I think so. I definitely would think that would be pretty good. I'm just thinking now, though, I like the fact I'm not saying this because I'm a small, but I do like a small forward line. And I like the fact that Lynch can do his thing, bring it to ground. Jack's there as well doing his thing. Yeah. But like you said, if he was to then leave, I haven't seen Jesse Hogan play in so long. I don't know what sort of position he plays and how he plays it. So I'm not too sure on that. I don't know what would happen. There's a lot of talk about that at the moment.
Where's the money Richmond have got? They can't have money anywhere, surely. They've won three of the last four and brought in Tom Lynch.
You wouldn't think so.
And I think Fremantle are done from what I gather the papers are saying at the moment. So it's going to be interesting to see where he ends up. Now, mate, we do have to do one thing before you go, and it's time for story time.
It's story time.
I once ate rat droppings by mistake.
Dill, it's time for story time. It's where we give the complete package on a topic of the week. This week, we go over to Josh, producer Josh, TikTok Josh. What do you offer us, mate?
TikTok-y. We got Brent from Woodvale. Brent's emailed in, he's asking, okay, there's all this memorabilia that come from every grand final. They put on the emblem, they put on special shoes or whatever. Where does it go? Because I've seen it pop up, but you've been a part of, three grand finals yourself, Save. Do you know where it goes? Have you guys heard anything about that?
It's funny. I don't know if you know this deal, but when you're a lower end player like you and I were financially, I'm saying output. Your output was much greater than your than the financial dollar. But if you win the grand final on a Wednesday or a Tuesday, you go into the footy club and do all these personal signing sessions and it's about 3 hours and the company who has the rights to the memorabilia, they pay you about $8,000 to sit there for 2 hours, $8,000 every player. Every player has a lady designated to them or a young guy, like a young sort of whippersnapper. They just put the jumpers in front of you and you just sign. You sign everything, jumpers, posters, everything, and then you get a check in the mail from, is it ING or one of those management companies who have the rights to memorabilia. So that's where that stuff comes from. That's where the official stuff comes from, is a massive signing session where you're paid a fair quid of cash. In terms of the game day memorabilia, Shane Crawford and Campbell Brown did something during the week I saw on TV where Campbell Brown was sitting at a desk doing obviously a TV show or something, and Crawford rolled up with his jumper from the 2008 grand final. 12 years later, Crawford was cleaning out his house and found Brownie's game day worn jumper. And Brownie's like, I've been looking for that for 12 years. How have you just found that? And Crawford's like, I don't know, mate, I apologise. So, yeah, Brownie got his grand final jumper back. Yeah, just this week. And I only had a message probably 2 weeks ago about grand final boots that I wore. I just gave all this shit away. I didn't care about it too much, except my jumper. And someone's like, mate, can you confirm these boots are yours from a grand final? I was like, mate, I've got no idea whether they're mine or not. So I've obviously just thrown them over the fence at someone. And now they want me to confirm whether they're official. I'm like, mate, what does it matter if they're official or not official? They're worth about $8. Like, come on.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with them that's going to be worth anything?
It is funny, isn't it, like with that grand final stuff, because obviously my old man won three yes. flags, and he was getting like, and he still does to this day, gets ridiculous offers for these jumpers.
Yeah.
Like ridiculous.
Mate,
and obviously now as well, it's been, you know, 30, 40 years since the time. So I think you just got to hold on to them for as long as you can. But I said, you know, like, mate, I want to keep them. Like, I don't want to sell them. Like, it's good history. Like, I think the one thing, I'd never sell the medal.
Nah.
I suppose a jumper is something that I would sell, and as long as it's going to like a museum-y sort of thing, if that was, you know, if you're good enough to do that.
Yeah.
You'd want it in some sort of collection so at least people could see it. But
yeah
it's an interesting one. It's so hard to part with that sort of stuff. Even my jumper that I played two games with in the Giants, like I ain't getting rid of that.
It ain't going anywhere.
Is that in a frame?
Is that in a frame, or is that just tucked away when you've had a few beers, you can just walk around the house, put it back on and stroll?
Yeah, it's framed in the lounge room, but it's also got the lock on it so I can take it out, put it on, then put it back
in
the frame as well.
Yeah, nice. So, I like it. Yeah. I like it. Did you get any players to sign it? I would have got like at Hawthorn, I would have got Buddy to sign my stuff, being like, hey, bud, I know it's mine and it's not worth anything, but if you sign something, it might be worth a little bit more.
That's great. Yeah. Nah, look, again, you'd know more than me, but I'd be holding on to my stuff as much as I could, but I know that a lot of people flog it off as well.
Were you alive when your dad played?
No. I was in the body, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The my best mate over here, Jacob Brennan, his dad, Monkey, was vice captain of West Coast 92-94, and Brenno was born. So you know, they got photos of him in the Premiership Cup with his dad, who was like
a star player.
Yeah, that was one thing that I was super envious of, was those having kids on grand final day, like to share the experience with your actual kids and family. Like, I look at it and there's sometimes people saying, oh, kids shouldn't be allowed to go on stage with their dads to get the medal. I'm like,
nah,
shut up yourself.
I love that.
Get up there, smile. It's a family moment. Enjoy. Anyway, Dil, anything else, mate, or we should let you go and get a good night's sleep because Victoria's back open.
I'm firing up tomorrow, mate. I'm going to hydrate. I've got the hydrolites. I've got the waters. I'm going to have a stretch. And, look forward to next week.
And don't forget, bit of toast. Fill that stomach.
Yeah, line the stomach. That's it.
Well, that's another episode of the Loose Ballers Edition, of course, a part of the Hardball Gets podcast. Thanks again to Mazda. It's the complete package inside and out. Drive the brand new Mazda BT50 at your Mazda dealer. Thanks very much for tuning in. And, of course, if you're in Victoria listening, enjoy the next couple of days.